Anybody know what a cozy coop is? Hands up if you ever put one of these together. All right, it looks something like this. So it's not a real intimidating thing, right? I mean, how hard can it be? But let me just say, the marriage survived. Our marriage survived. But it was rough. I mean, for one, nothing really seemed to fit. And then the worst thing about it is they give us one of these things to work with, and I'm not really sure what to do with that. I mean, what's wrong with it? Just regular flathead or a Phillips or something like that? Who is Alan and why does he have a wrench? I don't get it. But anyhow, we finally got it put together, but it was a great reminder that sometimes you can just make something that's really simple, all of a sudden make it very complicated, right? Well, today we're back in our study in 1 Peter, and we're going to talk about spiritual growth. How do you grow spiritually? And a lot of people take something that's very simple and they turn it into something that's really, really complicated. So I want you to get your Bible open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you didn't bring one, there should be one at your seat. We want everybody with an open Bible and open heart to the Lord. And we're going to talk about spiritual growth. Now, Peter has been... In chapter 1, he talked a little bit about salvation and all that God has done to bring us to faith in Christ. And then he kind of warns us at the end of that first chapter not to go back to our old way of living, not to go back to the old ways we used to live, but to press forward. And so in chapter 2, he talks about how to do that. How do you move forward in your walk with God? You know, the truth of the matter is there are a lot of people that come to church, sit in church, but you're just not growing. You're just not growing spiritually. Maybe there was a season in your life when you were really hot-hearted for the Lord. Man, God was showing you things and you were growing rapidly. But now that is way slowed down and you're just kind of going through the motions, maybe stalled out. Is that you? Just stalled out spiritually? Well, I'm going to show you how to get moving forward in this new year. How you can really grow in your walk with the Lord. And Peter's going to keep it very simple. All right, he's not going to overcomplicate this. He's not going to give us 40 things you got to do, right? To grow in your faith, or 14 things you got to do. He's going to break it down to right here. Four things. Four simple things that you can start tomorrow that will help you grow spiritually. And here's the deal. Having been a pastor for quite a while, 30 years now, I know I look much younger than that, but for 30 years, let me just say, the people that do these four things, they grow. And the people that don't do these four things, they don't. It's just that simple. All right? So we're going to not make it complicated. We're going to jump into it this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're going to be. And let's look at verse 1. This is the word of God. Amen? Amen. Write this first thought down before we read the verse. Invest in God's word. First thing you're going to do is invest in God's word. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into your salvation. There it is right there. If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. God wants you to grow up. He wants you to move forward. He wants you to grow from where you are now. And the first step in that is to invest in God's word. Listen, there's just no way around it. You have to have this book in you if you're going to grow spiritually. You just got to do it. In fact, Peter makes it clear. He says, desire, look at verse 2, desire the pure spiritual milk of the word. That is in the Greek an imperative, meaning a command. He said, I command you to desire the word of God. You know, I command you to long for it, to crave it, to have an insatiable desire for more and more and more of God's word. And I can look back in my own journey, and there were seasons, man, especially when I was in those growth spurts, that I was just couldn't get enough of the word of God. He said, desire the insatiable have an appetite for the word of God. And he gives an illustration of that in a mother's milk. Right? Just like an infant craves the milk. I remember when our girls were infants, they were so sweet and so cuddly until they were hungry, right? Then they got hangry, you know, and then they're crying out, middle of the night, they're crying out. They need the milk, right? And so he said, you need to hunger after God's word like that, to hunger and desire his word. You know, it's interesting, the mother's milk has everything that baby needs
to grow physically, everything it needs. That it has all the complete nutrients necessary. It has all the fats, has all the carbohydrates and all the proteins, all the minerals and vitamins and water, everything packaged together perfectly for that little child to grow. It's easy on their digestion and works well with their tiny little digestive tract. There are, in fact, enzymes in that mother's milk that prevent the child from disease and getting sick. There is even all kinds of fatty acids like DHA and others that help stimulate neurological growth and brain health. It's fascinating. Even the contents of the milk change over time. You know, it starts off with infancy, first couple of weeks, it has certain nutrients for a newborn, and as that child grows, it adjusts to what that child needs, even the morning and the evening. I remember when our first daughter that had a baby, she was freezing some of her milk, and she said, "Dad, don't get it confused, the morning milk and the evening milk. The morning milk has stuff to stimulate the child to wake up and to have energy for the day. The evening milk has melatonin in it to help the baby sleep." And so, listen, isn't it fascinating how everything that baby needs is in that mother's milk. Now he said, in the same way, God's word has everything you need to grow spiritually. It has everything you need. For example, Peter just gives us a couple of things. You can jot this in the margin of your Bible. Number one, he says it's living. It's a living word. Look at chapter 1, verse 23. Just flip over to the previous chapter at the end of it, verse 23. He said, "It is through the living and enduring word of God." See that? God's word is living. That is, that this book has history in it, but it's not just some old history book. This book has theology in it, but it's not just some old dusty theology book. This book has poetry and prose in it, but it's not just some old poetic book. This book is God's living word to you. And God speaks to you out of his word. Just a little testimony time. How many of you, raise your hand, if God has spoken to you out of his word at some point? You're just like reading it and like, wow, God's speaking right to me. Yeah, that's what he does. If you want to hear God speak, you've got to get into God's word. It's a living word. Peter also says in chapter 1, verse 23, it's enduring. That is, it doesn't fade away. It's not out of date. It doesn't go obsolete. Let's talk about your phone for just a second, all right? Talk about your phone. I was reading an article this week, gave me some key numbers for phones. Number one, here's the first one, 4.88 billion. That's how many people have cell phones on the planet. That's more than half the population of the planet has some kind of cell phone. 4 hours and 43 minutes, that's the average amount of time people spend on their phone in the United States. So every day, you're going to spend somewhere around 4 hours, 43 minutes. That's either talking on the phone. Hopefully, that's not talking on the phone. You have no friends if you're talking on the phone that much, all right? Anyway, but that's scrolling on the phone and searching things on your phone and messaging and all that kind of thing. That's a lot of time. Here's this number. This one shocked me, 58. That's how many times you look at your phone every day. 58 times. Now, here's the deal. All that stuff you're doing on your phone, most of that's obsolete by the end of the day, right? I mean, oh, that's an old video. That's dated. None of that's going to last. And what Peter is saying is that this book will last forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." A man that was discipling me, he said, "Craig, you don't spend time in God's word. You invest time in God's word. You know, when you spend something, it's gone, right? It's like when you're scrolling, I'm never going to get that hour back of my life. But when you read God's word, you're investing in something that will last forever and forever and forever. So it's enduring, it's living, and it's good. And that's the third thing here. It's just good. In verse 3, he said, "You taste and seen that the Lord is good." You know, Psalm 119 said that God's word is perfect and trustworthy. It's right and radiant. It is pure and priceless. There's nothing more important than God's word. So here's the deal. You're going to grow to the degree that you spend time in God's word. You're going to grow to the degree that you spend time in God's word. You say, "Well, Craig, see, that's where I don't really know where to start. I don't know how to do that." All right, I'm going to give you the 30-day challenge. You ready? 30-day challenge. Here it is. You need to
attempt to read the scripture every day for 30 days. Now, one way you can do that is just get on the Bible app and you can download. They have gazillions of Bible, literally gazillions of plans, Bible reading plans. Pick one. They'll have 30-day plans. You can pick one. It gives you, spoon feeds you everything to read for that day. If you don't want to do that, you want to just stick with your old hard copy Bible, then go start with the Gospel of John or start with the book of Philippians. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. Don't just read it. Go, okay, I read that. Off to go. No, I want you to read it. I want you to think about, okay, what's standing out here to me? Underline what stands out. Then think, okay, what does this mean for me? How can I apply this to my life? And then pray that back to the Lord. And then write a note down, like in a journal, of what God said to you that day. Now listen, I do that. That's been my practice for many, many years. And I'm just saying, I never walk away with saying God didn't say anything to me. God is speaking constantly through his word. And he will speak to you. You give it 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, you will look back and say, I can see how God spoke to me and how I'm starting to grow. All right? So the first thing you got to have, if you're going to grow spiritually, is you've got to invest in God's word. All right? Here's the second thing. Jot this down. You got to engage in church. You got to engage a church. Look at verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. All right, now what does that mean? Well, just underline the phrase here, spiritual house. See that in verse 5? Just underline that for just a minute. What Peter is saying is that that you need people in your life that are godly people to grow spiritually. We live in a world of individualism, right? It's all about me, and I got my own algorithm, and I view my own stuff, and it's just kind of, we're very isolated to ourselves. And there are many people that drag that into their walk with God, and they will tell me, Craig, I don't need church, man. I could just get by myself. I can read my Bible. I can listen to podcasts. I can download sermons. I can listen to my favorite worship band. I don't need anybody. And I'm always saying the same thing. Wrong. It's just not true. In fact, right here, he said, just like stones out of the temple were pulled out of the muck and mire and chiseled and fit into place to create a massive building, in the same way, when you gave your life to Christ, God pulled you out of the muck and the mire. Somebody say amen to that. Pulled you out of the muck and the mire, and he's shaping you, and he's fitted you into a place called the Church of Jesus Christ. And we belong together. And you can't grow spiritually just auditing the class. You got to engage. You're part of this spiritual building. And I'm not talking about the physical building, the church. The church is not the building. The church is not the property. The church is the people. And you are fit into a family of God. That's what he's saying here. To form this one body called the Church of Jesus Christ. And you need the church. You need people to pray for you and encourage you and build you up. You need a place to serve and give. You need the church. And you're not going to grow, you know, apart from being in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, we felt this really during COVID, didn't we? You know, we were shut down from this. For some time, you know, just a couple of months, actually. Our church was only shut down for about 8 weeks, maybe, total, and then we were back at it. But there were some churches, some of our plants around the world were shut down for years. And I just remember when we were not meeting together, I felt a hole. I missed you guys, and I wanted to be with you. I remember the first time we gathered together and worshiped for the first time. I mean, I just cried halfway through it because I just so missed us together. We went on a staff retreat this week, and I noticed that there was this Jenga game on the back porch. You know what Jenga is, right? It's like this stack of wood pieces, right? There it is. And, you know, the game is you try to remove a piece without the whole thing falling down, and whoever pulls it and it all falls down, they lose. You know, I wonder if sometimes how, maybe that's how God sees his church, you know? We're fitted together, right? We're forming a spiritual house, we're a body, but there are pieces missing, right? There are people missing. Listen, if you're missing,
Listen, this is not me just trying to drive church attendance, okay? I'm just trying to tell you, you're not going to grow spiritually if you're not here. And online is great, but that's online is great when you're sick or when you're traveling, but it's a terrible replacement for people in your life. And, you know, I just think not only are you going to miss out, but listen, the church is weakened because you're not here. And so that's what Peter's saying. Hey, you're part of something bigger than you, and you're fitted for this, and you need to be knitted together and engaged that in this spiritual house called the church. But then he also underlined the phrase spiritual sacrifices, verse 5, same verse. See that spiritual house and now spiritual sacrifices. What is that? That, in other words, what he's saying is we don't gather to get, we gather to give. When we come, it's not like, what can I get from this? What we come and we say, what can I give? What can I bring? You know, in the Old Testament, they brought to the temple physical sacrifices, right? A lamb or a goat or something from their crops. But what we do is we bring spiritual sacrifices. Now, what are those? Well, here's a list of some of them. We bring our life off your body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12 says. Holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your act of worship. We offer our praise. That's why we sing and worship together. This is a part of our offering to God. We gather our, we serve and give our gifts, what financial means God has given us. We share with others and we do it to advance the gospel around the world. We bring our service and we serve and we give. Here's the point. You can't do any of that if you're not engaged. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. All right. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I love you. Listen. You always say that right before I say something hard, right? All right, here it comes. Listen, you just can't just show up and view and then leave if you expect to grow. You need to get engaged. Don't just watch what's happening. Engage with what's happening. Don't just stand at arm's length. Get in a group. Start serving. Start contributing. Start being a part of what. There's a place for you here, and you're going to grow as a result of it. But to the degree that you hold off and go, well, I'll just kind of hang out a little bit, go to a couple of services, I'm good. No, you're never going to grow that way. You're never going to grow that way. You have something to offer, something to bring, all right? And so Peter is saying you need to engage in the local church, all right? So if you don't know how to do that, next Sunday we have our Discover Cross Creek class. You can sign up for that online. You can scan that QR code right at your seat, and it asks you just a couple of simple questions, and we will help take it from there. But man, my dream is that every person is engaged. Why? Because that means every person's growing. You're growing and you're thriving in your walk with the Lord. So we're talking about spiritual growth, right? You got to invest in God's word. You got to engage at church. We're keeping it simple. All right, here's number three, keeping it simple. Make Jesus your foundation. Make Jesus your foundation. Look at verse 6. For it stands in scripture, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So honor will come to you who believe. But for the unbelieving, the builder that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone and a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobey the word. They were destined for this. You know, if you went with me to Israel, I could take you to the foundation stones of the temple. They are massive. In fact, there's this tour that we take that goes underground along the foundation stones that are actually set on the rock. And they're huge. They're chiseled out. Some of them are as heavy as 50 tons. And how they are cut and put in place without hydraulics, I will never fully understand. But it is remarkable, these foundation stones. Now, maybe this is what Peter had in mind when he's talking about this stone. Notice what he says here. This is a little clue, a little Bible study clue for you. When he says, for it stands in scripture, he's indicating to you, he's going to quote an Old Testament verse. So he says, for it stands in the scripture, and then he quotes Isaiah 28, 16. You can write in the margin of your Bible there, Isaiah 28, 16. This is that verse that he says right here, I lay a stone in Zion, an honored cornerstone. He who believes in him will not be put to shame. Isaiah was talking about one day God's going to do something new. And he's going to set in place a foundation upon which he will build a cornerstone. Now, this was a messianic prophecy, or a prophecy about the Messiah to come. And he said, there's going to come a guy, and he's going to be the cornerstone. He's going to be the Messiah, and God's going to build around him something new. And so this was a prophecy. They were thinking that one day the Messiah is going to come, and cornerstone was kind of a name for him. This very prophecy Jesus applied to himself when he was talking with religious leaders in Matthew 21, verse 42. And he said, you have rejected the cornerstone. This cornerstone you say you're looking forward to, this cornerstone you say you're waiting to come, hey, you're rejecting him because that's me. Now, Peter is just underscoring this, what Jesus already said, that Jesus is the cornerstone. Now, here's a point for you and for me. If you want to grow, you've got to build your life on Jesus, the cornerstone. You got to build your life on him. See, everybody's got something they're building their life on, right? Everybody's got something. You're building your life on your career. Your career's driving. Everything revolves around your career. It's all about that. You're building your life, you know, promotion by promotion on your career. You're building your life on your family. You're building your life on your hobby. You're building your life on your online, you know, notoriety. You're building whatever thing it is you're building your life on. At some point, when the pressure comes, those things are not going to sustain you. They're just not. I can just tell you how many men I've talked to, they built their life on their career. And then when that goes south, they don't even want to live. Why is that? Why would you not want to live? It's because everything was on that. The only thing that's going to hold you firm when the storms come is the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's it. You say, well, Craig, how do you know that? I mean, that sounds so judgmental, you to tell us that. You don't even know me. Well, you know what? I didn't make this up. This came from Jesus, okay? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells this parable about two guys building their house, and one builds it on the sand, and when the storm comes, it just crashes. It may have looked great, but it was crashing because it had no foundation. But the one who built his house on the firm foundation, that's the one that stood the ground and stood the test. Now listen, where are you building your house? Is your life founded and established on Jesus Christ as your foundation, your bedrock conviction, your bedrock, this is how I live, this is what I believe, this is where I stand, no matter what? Is that how your life is? Is your marriage built on Jesus Christ and who we are together as followers of Christ and are we praying together and investing our life in God's work? Is your family built on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Or is it school or sports or hobbies or whatever else? You know, are your relationships founded on this rock, this foundation? Listen, if it's not, trouble's coming. And I want you to miss here what the blessing and the warning here. Don't miss it here. Look at verse 6. There's a blessing. The one who believes in him will never be put to shame. See that? Verse 7, honor will come to the one who believes. In other words, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you're standing, making him your foundation, you're not going to be put to shame. That is a statement of confidence. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. Remember in Jesus' story, the storm came to both. But it is when the storm comes, you can have confidence that he will carry you. He will sustain you. He will see you through. He will bring you to the very end, even into his own presence. But listen, if your life is not founded on Jesus, well, look at the warning. Look at verse 7 and 8. He said, if you reject him, the rock of Jesus Christ will become a stumbling block that you'll fall over, you'll trip over. Jesus added in Matthew 21:44, the stone will fall on you and shatter you. Now listen, that's a pretty serious warning, don't you think? So here's the point. If you don't make Jesus your foundation, you're going to trip over him in the end, because he is the one that you'll have to give an account to for your life. I was watching a reel, you know, swiping, scrolling. It's funny, when Liz scrolls stuff, I call her rabbi. She's on the scrolls, you know. Anyway, that's a side little joke. Oh, Craig, stop that. Anyway, but I was scrolling. I was being Rabbi Craig. I was on the scroll, and I saw this guy who's very popular online, and it was shocking to me because he said, you know what? I've been trying to convince myself that there is no God my whole life. And I said, I finally came to the realization that I was keeping God away because I knew he would change my life, and I didn't want to change. He said, but I have peace now that I've never had in my life. And I thought, wow, what a great testimony, right? That's the difference when your life is founded on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Is he your foundation? Well, let's get to the last one here. We're talking about growing. We talked about you got to invest in God's word. You have to engage at church. You have to make Jesus your foundation. Here's the last one. You got to share what God's done for you. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that you may proclaim the praise of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. You know, there's the mysterious case of Ansel Bourne. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Ansel Bourne was a pastor, evangelical pastor in the mid-1800s. This is his picture. He looks a little crazy, if you ask me, but he had a neurological episode that happened in 1887, where he suddenly moved from where he lived and moved to another place in Norristown in Pennsylvania, set up a new business and assumed a different name and just kind of lived a different life for about 2 months. And then in the 2 months, he woke up and he didn't know where he was and he didn't know what he'd been doing for the last 2 months. And he had a dissociative amnesia. And psychologists have been studying Ansel Bourne for over 100 years to try to understand how the brain can disassociate itself from reality and how one can just forget who they are and go through these kind of blips or episodes. And in fact, Ansel Bourne has just recently regained new notoriety because he was the inspiration for the book, The Bourne Identity, and then the movies, of course, to follow, about this assassin who has amnesia, right? So, but what Peter is saying here is, let me just remind you who you are. Don't forget who you are. He said, you are a chosen race. That word race there, genomai, means where we get the words genes or genetics or genome from. It means family. It means kin. It means a generation. And basically what he's saying is that God only recognizes two races. There are those who are born only physically, and then there are those who are born spiritually. And that's it. Those two. And those who are born again are this chosen race. Born again, this is what Jesus talked about with Nicodemus, right? You must be born again, he said. And he said, you, followers of Christ, you've been born again. You're in God's family. You're God's chosen race. Then he said, you're a holy priesthood. We already talked about priesthood. Every believer is a priest unto the Lord. That means you serve God. You have access to God. You offer to him your acts of service to him. And then he said, you are his own possession. I love that one, don't you? That you belong to him. You're his precious possession. Listen, God made you his own, and you belong to him. And why is all this important? Why is he reminding them you're a chosen people, you're a chosen race, you're a priesthood set apart, you belong to him, you're precious to him? Why is that? Look at verse 9. He tells you why that's there. So that, it's purpose clause there, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, the whole reason why God did all that for you is so you could share your story. Listen, you got a story to tell about how you were in a dark place and Jesus changed you and saved you from it. We were on a staff retreat this week. I think I already told you that. And we were having a share time around a circle. And one of the ladies on our staff, she just kind of opened up and shared some of her story. And she said she was in a really, really dark place and just felt very depressed and isolated and alone, and even to the point that she tried to take her own life. And praise God, she survived. And she reached out to me and asked if I, maybe just some people from the church could pray for her. And so I remember her coming to the office, and we had a couple of our deacons come, and we just prayed with her, just encouraged her with the word and just prayed over her. And she said that was a huge turning point in her life and a part of her healing process. And she said, while she was telling that story, there was a guy that was in the circle at the retreat. And he goes, you know what? I was there. He said, I was one of the guys that was in that room. I remember this. He said, I'd kind of forgotten about it, but now I remember, you know, what hard place you were in, and we just prayed for you. And she went on to talk about how God just healed her, and now she's reaching back and helping women that are in really dark places, finding their hope in Jesus. And it was just this powerful moment of redemption. Now listen, you have a story to tell. And your story is for God's glory. And it's not bragging on you. It's bragging on him. Look at this dark place I was at and how the Lord has delivered me from it. And when you share that story, listen, he gets all the praise and you start to grow. Because that's what you were chosen to do. Man, there was a time when you were far from God and now you're near. There was once a time when you were just aimless and now you know him. There was a time when you were not his people. Now you're in the body, right? There was a time you didn't care anything about the Lord. And now your heart is overflowing with joy of what he's done for your life. Share the story. Share the story. And every time you share it, when you feel the Holy Spirit going, oh, now it is. Here it is. I've teed it up for you now. Open your mouth. Tell what I've done for you. Every time you do that, you just grow on the inside because God's using you for his purpose. Listen, we're talking about growing spiritually, and it's really not that complicated. It's really not. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to go to seminary to grow spiritually. Just four things. Just to invest your time in God's word and asking God to speak to you. Just engaging in a church, being in a group, serving, giving your all, investing in relationships that are here. Just making Jesus the foundation of your life and every day saying, Lord, I want to obey you. Every day I want to please you. Every day I want what I do with my marriage and with my family, with my children, with my work, when I'm alone, when I'm with others, I just want to live with you in my heart and in my mind. And then to be ready and quick to share all that God's done for you. When you do that, you're going to grow. All right? I want you to bow your heads with me for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and your first step is to trust Christ. You may say, Craig, you know, I don't really have a desire to do these things. Well, maybe it's because you've never met the Lord. It's those who are born that have a hunger for the mother's milk, and those who are born again have a hunger for God. And maybe you just say, well, maybe I just have never really come to know him, really. Maybe I've gone to church. I mean, I believe in God, but you've never had an encounter with Jesus. But the gospel is very clear that you were made to know him. And our sin, your sin, has separated you from God. But Christ came to you. And he died on a cross and he rose again on the third day and he offers you freedom and forgiveness and new life if you'll just simply acknowledge your need and cry out and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I turn, I repent, I turn from my old life. I want to follow you, Lord. Anyone who cries out to the Lord like that will never be pushed away. Never, never. Maybe it's your time. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Just right where you're seated, right where you are, nobody looking around. If you say, Pastor, I need Christ in my life, I just want you to just lift up your hand right where you are. I'll see it. And I'll lead you in a prayer right where you're seated to receive Christ, okay? All right, thank you. Lift up your hand. Pastor, all right, thank you. Pastor, pray for me, all right? Just lift up your hand. You're lifting your hand, just acknowledges your need, all right? Yes, thank you, thank you. Pastor, pray for me. I just need Christ in my life. All right, anybody else? Lift it up high where I can see it. All right, thank you. All right, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, you put your hand down. Just right where you are, the Lord knows your heart. This is your moment. He's pulling you. He's drawing you to himself. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned against you. I know I've gone my own way. But I believe you died on a cross for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. So I'm asking you, please forgive me. Please wipe away my sin. Make me a new person. I don't want to be that person anymore. Thank you for your promise that you love me and you will wash away all my sin. Lord, now fill me with your Spirit. Help me follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I want to grow to be the man, the woman that you created me to be. Thank you for your great love. And Father, I just pray for everybody here. Lord, that this year will be the year that we really grow. We really grow into you. So Lord, fill us, Lord, prompt us, Lord, lead us to trust you more and to grow into your likeness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,